read Acts chapter 8 from verse 1. And Saul was consenting unto his death, that's the death of Stephen. And at that time there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial, and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women, committed them to prison. Therefore they that were scattered abroad went everywhere, preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits crying with loud voice came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies, and that were lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city. But there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one, to whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, "This man is the great power of God." And to him they had regard, because that of long time he had bewitched them with sorceries. But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Then Simon himself believed also, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. Now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who when they were come down prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then laid they their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. And when Simon saw that through laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, "Give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost." But Peter said unto him, "Thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent, therefore, of this thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness, and in the bond of iniquity." Then answered Simon and said, "Pray ye to the Lord for me, that none of these things which ye have spoken come upon me." And they, when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, returned to Jerusalem and preached the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans. Amen. May God bless to us this reading. When Stephen was martyred, it seems as if Saul was emboldened. If he could kill Stephen and get away with it, what else could he do? He knew that Stephen was one of the leaders of the church, and so he thought that this might be his opportunity to strike and to kill many others. Many years later, this man, Saul of Tarsus, was as the converted Paul the Apostle, standing before a king called Agrippa, giving some personal testimony of how the Lord had come to him and saved him. But he looked back over the years and he reflected upon this time in Jerusalem. And this is what he said of that time. He said, killing of the killing of others. He said, which thing I also did in Jerusalem. And many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests. And when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them. And I punished them oft in every synagogue, and compelled them to blaspheme. And being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even unto strange cities. He put them in prison. He brought them before judges and accused them to their faces of things that they were not guilty of and which they had not done. And then he put them to death. And as they were being put to death, he added his voice against them, causing them to blaspheme even as they were being put to death. Can you imagine what conscience that man had in a later day when he understood the power of the Lord Jesus Christ? Sometimes we might do things that we are subsequently sorry for. It is always good to remember that there is forgiveness with the Lord, that he may be feared. And if you feel that there is something in your heart, something on your mind that you are sorry for before God, a sin that you have committed, then be like Paul and take it to the Lord and ask for his forgiveness. This was a time of great persecution in the church. The Lord Jesus Christ loves his church and loves his people. Nevertheless, the Lord Jesus allowed this persecution to take place. He had allowed Stephen to be killed. And we would think to ourselves, why should that be, that a man of such great ability, such great usefulness in the church, should have to be slain? But maybe it was just to give Saul of Tarsus that boldness to go against so many others. And the very fact that he went against those others caused other people in the city, all of those thousands that had been converted, to become afraid and to leave the city, to become refugees and to flee from their own homes because of the violence of this man. And what happened then was something quite wonderful. Because as the people started to leave the city, they took their faith with them. As they went into the villages and the towns, as they started to spread to other nearby cities, they talked about the Lord Jesus. They preached the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're told that Saul made havoc of the church. But as the believers then left and went out to other cities, we see that them carrying the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ with them. And so the gospel was spread. And there's another lesson there, that in the providence of God, in the way in which God works things in this world, all things work together for good, because he brings good things even out of bad things. There was a great movement of people, and they went out, all except, we're told, the apostles. And I think it's interesting because it's clear that the apostles had the commission that they were to go out into all the world. And yet here they were staying in Jerusalem, at least for this time. As the believers were chased out of town, the apostles remained there. And I thought to myself, I wonder why. I wonder why they stayed when everyone else tried to escape. And I think it was for this reason. I think that in the face of Saul of Tarsus's onslaught, they bravely held their ground. Do you remember what the Lord Jesus Christ said in that occasion when he was in Gethsemane and the people came to arrest him with their sticks and their swords? He said, "I'm the person you're looking for. Let these go." And that was what the disciples did. That's what the apostles did. They stayed in Jerusalem. And I can't but believe that Saul of Tarsus was so fixated with the apostles that he let the other believers escape out from under his grasp. So here is a picture of perhaps the bravery of the apostles at this moment. When the anger of the Jews was coming upon them, they stood their ground. Maybe that just confused the Jews for long enough for the disciples or for the other believers to escape. One preacher that did go away was a man called Philip. And Philip was perhaps the same Philip that had been made a deacon with Stephen. And Philip went down to Samaria. And I think it's good for us to notice what he did when he got to Samaria. We're told explicitly he preached Christ. And that's what he was supposed to do. Not preach about all of the problems that were happening in Jerusalem. Not preach about these terrible Jews that were causing so much hardship and pain and suffering. Not to try to find other things to mention. Simply this: to preach the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what he did. He preached that Jesus was God. He preached that this one who had come into the world was perfectly holy. And that in spite of his holiness, he had died on the cross for his people. But he preached the resurrection as well. And he preached it through the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ and his ascension into glory, that there was forgiveness to be had for sinners with God through faith in the work of Jesus Christ. And he preached the joy of the Lord in the lives of men and women. We're told another little thing in this passage here about a man called Simon. Sometimes he's called Simon Magus, although that's not actually a name that he's given in Scripture. But he's called Simon Magus because it was Simon the magician. And that's what the word Magus means. And for years and years, through trickery and deception, he was a bit of a conjurer, this man. He knew how to fool people. And for years and years, he had fooled the people of Samaria to the point that they thought he was some great man. But as soon as Philip came preaching, as soon as he saw the work of God the Holy Spirit, you know, the fraud can tell when something is real. And that's what happened to Simon. He knew that this wasn't trickery that he was observing here. And he wanted a part of this power. So he identified with Philip and he followed the others and became a believer, and he was even baptized. And we're told that after he was baptized, he was like Philip's right hand man. This was his wingman. And everywhere that Philip went, Simon went too. And we might think that that's a very good thing to do, to be beside the Lord's servant, to be a helper for the preaching of the gospel. But what we discover is that Simon had an ulterior motive. He was trying to find out how he could be a possessor of this power. Now, the apostles up in Jerusalem, who had remained in Jerusalem, they heard that there had been this great work going on under Philip's ministry at Samaria. And so Peter and John went down to Samaria. And when they got there, they established the church, they prayed and laid their hands upon the people, and the Holy Spirit descended just as he had done in Jerusalem. And that was a picture of the way in which the Holy Spirit's coming came separately to different groups of people. It shows us that the coming of the Holy Spirit, although we speak about it as a one-off experience in the sense of Pentecost, yet it was repeated for different groups. We discover that the Samaritans received the Holy Spirit. And then a little later in Acts, we discover that the Gentiles, in the sense of Cornelius, they received the Holy Spirit too. So the Holy Spirit was showing that he was moving to these different groups. And Simon realized that Peter, by simply praying, had brought the Holy Spirit here upon the Samaritans. And he said, "That's what I want. I want that power." And he offered Peter money. We have a little phrase, it's called simony. And simony is when you try to get some religious benefit for the payment of money. And it has been a curse throughout the history of the church. People have thought that they could buy and sell men's souls for position and place prominence within the church. And throughout the history of the church, you can see that positions have been bought and sold. Simony is what we call it. And that is from this man, Simon Magus. Peter repudiated his idea. He told him that he was deceived in his heart, and that the things that he was requesting were hypocrisy. I don't know whether Simon ever truly repented. There is a suggestion that he asked for prayer, but there is no expression of repentance in what he said. Just fear. And it may well be that the judgment of God came upon him. But the apostles returned to Jerusalem to tell the other apostles what they had seen and how that the gospel was beginning to spread. As they went, they preached in other towns and villages. And though there was trouble in the church, both within the church because of people like Simon and without the church because of people like Saul of Tarsus, we see that nevertheless the Lord Jesus Christ was protecting and preserving and promoting the gospel of salvation. And though these experiences came upon the church, yet the church was victorious and the church accomplished those things which the Lord set them to do. So we've come to another little bit of the story of the opening up of the gospel and the spreading of the church of Jesus Christ. Thank you.